Welcome to Arin Podcast Luxembourg, our podcast channel that explores the latest legal and regulatory updates in Luxembourg by weighing in on our experts' profound experience. We are introducing our new podcast series, All About Private Debt. Our experts from different practice areas come together with guest speakers to debate hot topics in the private debt market.
Hello, everyone. My name is Adrian Aldinger, and I'm a partner in the investment management practice of Arndt & Medernach, specialized in the formation of alternative investment funds with a specific focus on private equity and private debt. And I welcome all of you to our latest edition of our private debt webinar series to discuss LP considerations from a German perspective, specifically German institutional LPs and what they are interested in, what keeps them awake at night, and other important things we think you should know. And I am being joined today by a very esteemed colleague of mine from the Pöllert team in Germany, the very well-known and esteemed law firm that specializes not only, but also in fund formation matters. And without further ado, I will introduce to you Peter Bojocek. As I said, within Pöllert, who is, as I mentioned, to most of you, a household name, Peter focuses very much on fund formation matters, and not just in the pure fund formation sense, but also has an additional expertise, which I envy him for very much because it is something that I am lacking, is tax expertise related to fund formation matters. So thank you very much, Peter, for being with us today.
And thank you, Adrian. Thank you. Thank you for having me with you for this very interesting podcast series. Well, private debt funds as an alternative asset class have obviously gained in importance over the previous years, in particular from a German perspective, given that loan origination had not been recognized as part of portfolio management in Germany until some years ago, but had required a banking license. Now that has changed. Again, private debt funds have become more relevant. So I very much look forward to our short conversation.
Indeed. No, I think it's a general trend we see across the globe. Private debt is certainly a very interesting asset class for a lot of investors, and institutional investors in Germany, obviously, being a very important subset of that LP base, it is something I'm sure a lot of listeners will be interested in hearing. So maybe just to map out today's session, I think what we want to focus on was mainly two things. So check out or check in with you about the insurance regulatory aspects that a German LP, institutional LP, would have to consider when investing in a debt fund, but also the tax elements that obviously go in hand in hand. And despite the rather limiting title, we'd also thought that we'd also touch briefly on a few more overarching or general debt fund topics that are relevant from a German perspective. So maybe with that having been said, maybe we'll jump straight to the first question or first topic. So Peter, around German insurance regulatory aspects, what should we keep in mind? What is important to note?
Adrian, thank you. Okay, so let's first spend a few words on selected German insurance regulatory aspects. The discussion on allocation of fund interests under either the so-called private equity quota or the so-called alternative quota within the meaning of the German insurance ordinance. Now, what is this about? Important groups of German investors, such as small insurance companies that are not subject to Solvency II, such as pension funds or pension schemes for professional organizations, the German Versorgungswerke, those investors are subject to the German Insurance Supervisory Act, Versicherungsaufsichtsgesetz, to the Investment Ordinance specifying this German Insurance Supervisory Act, as well as to certain circulars released by the German regulator BaFin. Now, these rules that are relevant to these investors govern under what conditions such a regulated investor can invest its guarantee assets. Guarantee assets, these are assets of the investor that are supposed to cover the insurance and pensions liabilities. And now what's important to understand is that each investment that is made by such an investor must meet the principles of security, profitability, and liquidity, as well as certain asset mix and diversification requirements. And in addition, in order for an investment to be eligible or to be permissible for such an investor, the investment must qualify under one of the 18 asset classes or asset baskets that are enumerated under Section 2, Subsection 1 of the Investment Ordinance. Each of those asset classes or asset baskets is characterized by specific requirements. Now, for investments in closed-ended funds, including debt funds, in particular, two asset classes come into consideration, are potentially open or eligible. It is, on the one hand, the so-called private equity basket, sometimes also referred to as number 13B basket, number 13B because it's stipulated in section 2, subsection 1, number 13B of the catalog that I have just mentioned. So either private equity basket or the alternative basket or the alternative funds basket, section 2, subsection 1, number 17 of the Investment Ordinance. So for regulated investors, it's typically highly relevant whether they can invest, whether they can allocate an investment in a debt fund to either the private equity basket or the alternative basket. And in fact, those investors will invest only if into a fund if the fund investment is allocable to one of those two baskets. Now, what's important to understand is that while the distinction lines between those two baskets that are potentially relevant are somewhat blurred and not always clear, and there may be a lot of discussions about which basket is the right one, if you want, conceptually, it is an either or. An allocation to the private equity basket excludes an allocation to the alternative basket, and vice versa. At the same time, it's important to understand that this assessment, this allocation, is made at investor level. It is made by the investor itself, not by the fund or the fund manager. So we sometimes have situations where investors investing in the same fund arrive at different conclusions. One group of German regulated investors may conclude that the fund interest is allocable to the private equity basket, whereas another group of investors may arrive at a different conclusion and allocate the investment to the alternative basket. Now, what are the relevant criteria whether a fund investment is allocable to the private equity basket or the alternative basket? Well, the private equity basket, no big surprise, is first of all open for investments in traditional private equity funds, NVC funds, but it is also open for investments in funds which make, in addition to equity investments, mezzanine investments or in parts debt investments. BaFin, the regulator, speaks of equity participations and other means of business financings. So no question, in addition to traditional PE funds, also mezzanine funds can be allocated to the private equity basket, in which case they are not eligible for the alternative basket. But the distinction line becomes blurred with respect to funds which, you know, more or less exclusively solely invest in debt instruments. And that is because the BaFin statements in this respect are not fully clear or even not fully consistent. According to BaFin, on the one hand, mere debt investments are not possible within the private equity basket. So if you take into consideration this statement, a fund that invests solely in debt instruments would not be eligible for the private equity basket, but would be eligible only for the alternative basket. So this is a more formal approach, if you want, based on a characterization of instruments into which a fund invests from an accounting perspective. At the same time, though, the BaFin takes the view that debt investments are possible within the private equity basket, where the fund actively monitors a debt investments and engages in a due diligence prior to making an investment. So this seems to be more of a substantive approach, where the distinction is about the investment style, the investment approach, rather than about the characterization of instruments into which a fund invests from an accounting perspective. And in light of the asset mix rules, it seems that some investors have a preference to allocate not only private equity investment, but also debt fund investments to the private equity basket. And indeed, over the past years, I'd say that we have seen a tendency in the market that funds pursuing a debt strategy are, in spite of being a debt fund, are nonetheless regarded as eligible for the private equity basket. And in our view, there are good and valid arguments for such a position. There may be limits to that, depending on the specifics on the investment strategy, but just because a fund is referred to as a debt fund does not mean that it is not allocable to the private equity basket. I hope that was not too technical or too confusing.
No, I think that's very helpful. I mean, my takeaway is certainly that, for anyone looking to structure a debt fund with German LPs, they better get in touch with you and make sure that they get their structuring right, especially because of these, this room for interpretation around private equity style debt funds, which is actually, I think, in other respects, consistent with certain things we see or statements we see coming from the Luxembourg regulator. So I think all of that makes a lot of sense. So thanks for that insight. Maybe with that, we'll move on to the next piece regarding tax aspects. So what should we be looking out for? What should we keep in mind from a tax perspective in this regard?
Okay. Taxation, tax aspects that are relevant in particular in the context of debt funds are not related, not directly related to what we have just discussed about German regulated investors. Regarding tax, certain German investors, in particular tax exempt investors, for instance, tax exempt pension funds, foundations, etc., or private individuals, have a preference that debt funds, assuming they are structured as partnerships, are eligible for a non-business treatment from a German tax perspective. So again, for certain investors, it's important that debt fund partnerships are eligible for a non-business treatment, because then the tax treatment of those investors is either more attractive or it's even a precondition for them to be able to invest. Now, Is it possible to define the investment strategy and to implement the investment strategy of a debt fund such that the debt fund is eligible for a non-business treatment, including from a German tax perspective? Yes, I believe there is. Well, not just I believe this is possible, assuming that the fund complies with certain limitations on reinvestments, that it does not engage itself in trading or restructuring of loans, and assuming that it observes certain limits with respect to enforcement of securities in case of defaulting loans. What is generally interesting in the context of classification of a debt fund is that under the business activities test, the German business activities test, which is similar to this type of tests that are relevant in most tax jurisdictions, it should be generally even easier to achieve that loan investments are eligible for a non-business treatment than equity investments, simply because loan investments, debt investments are typically less active, if you want. The approach taken by the investing fund is less active when compared to a private equity fund. However, while in Germany, we have quite some case law and a lot of guidance on the assessment of the tax status of a private equity debt fund, including a specific private equity administrative pronouncement dated 2003, which includes a criteria which, if complied with, indicate that a private equity fund is eligible for a non-business treatment. We do not have much explicit guidance on the tax classification of debt funds. That is mainly due to the fact that, as we mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, until recently, debt funds, German debt funds, have not been that common or have not been even possible in Germany. So what we do in practice in order to assess the tax status of a debt fund partnership and ideally confirm that such debt fund is eligible for a non-business treatment from a German tax perspective, is a combination of two things. In addition to trying to apply general tax rules, we apply the private equity administrative pronouncement that is directly relevant to private equity funds accordingly, by analogy, to debt funds. And the takeaway is we don't have that clear guidance, but if the relevant criteria are taken into consideration upon defining the investment strategy, it should be possible to achieve the tax goal, i.e. that the fund partnership is eligible for a non-business treatment, and there is a number of debt funds for which we managed to obtain a binding ruling confirming such a status.
Understood. So I understand there's a path that leaves, I don't want to say some uncertainty, but is in any case very well trodden, and I think that is certainly good news that there is an established practice how to deal with these issues. I think just looking at time now, although I'm sure we could spend more time on this topic alone, but just to finish off, I think we wanted to kind of throw the net a bit further and take a bit of broader view, going just away from the pure LP considerations for just a second towards the end. And that was just to highlight or spotlight any overarching loan origination or debt fund topics that you think are noteworthy from a German perspective.
Sure. So for the audience, what is the context? Well, obviously, loan origination is a regulated activity, and as such can be conducted only by parties that are authorized to do so. Historically in Germany, these were only banks. Loan origination was considered a banking activity, and in order to originate loans, a banking license was required, meaning alternative investment funds had not been permitted to originate loans. Now, that situation changed a couple of years ago, and since then, it is recognized that loan origination can be part of portfolio management within the meaning of the AFMD. As a result, closed and special funds can originate loans in Germany. This applies to both German funds as well as EU funds with an EU AFM. German funds may, however, grant loans only to non-consumer borrowers. Leverage of the fund itself is restricted, and certain diversification rules apply. In addition, detailed rules on risk management apply. EU funds with an EU AFM may grant loans to German non-consumer borrowers based on the rules of such AFM's home jurisdiction. But overall, AFs and AFMs may grant loans to German borrowers. However, there is one almost technical problem or issue that creates a lot of headache in our everyday practice, and that's because according to a very formalistic approach taken by the BaFin, loan origination as a category of portfolio management can be conducted only by AFs and AFMs, but not by a SPV, even if such an SPV is wholly owned by a debt fund. And you know, obviously there are this is a structure where a debt fund does not originate loans directly, but interposes a SPV, a wholly owned SPV, is very customary, and there are multiple valid reasons to use such an interposed SPV. Nonetheless, such an SPV, according to BaFin, may not itself originate loans. I personally and a lot of market participants do not believe that this is a very convincing position, but it is what it is. And if we have debt funds that plan to originate loans to German borrowers indirectly through a SPV, the only technical solution that comes to mind is to use a fronting bank, i.e. to have a bank actually issue the respective loan, and then 1 minute later the fund or the SPV can acquire such loan and the loan receivable from the bank. It's burdensome. It's not ideal, but as for now, that's the only practical solution that comes to mind.
Okay, no, that's understood. I think it's at least helpful to be aware of that constraint. Again, I'm mindful of time, and I think at this point we'll probably have to come to a close. Although I know both of us could probably go on for quite a little bit longer to discuss all these topics, but today's goal was obviously just to give a taste of some of the topics that should be considered that can be of interest. So again, we know this is going to evolve. It's a moving target. I mean, we haven't even touched on AFMD2 today and what that may have as a consequence for debt funds, be it in Germany or Luxembourg or wherever. So I think that's going to be one for the future that we'll have to keep our eye out for. But at this stage, Peter, let me just, thank you a lot again for your time today and your insights. I'm sure it's been a very interesting 25 minutes for our listeners. So thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this private debt podcast. We hope you found it interesting. If you would like more information about our private debt expertise, we invite you to visit our website, www.achent.com. If you don't want to miss our latest episode, please feel free to subscribe to our podcasts, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.